Good evening, everyone. It's time for bedtime stories with Thompson.
Bedtime stories with Thompson. Right?
Yep. We're reading 20,000 Leagues. Thompson's very excited. We're reading 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea by Jules Verne. And we are up to chapter 14. What's the name of this chapter, Thompson?
The South Pole.
The South Pole. All right. I spent weeks at my notes detailing all the wonders of Atlantis, but one day Ned burst in and announced that we had just passed the tip of South America without turning west into the Pacific. We were still heading south, but south meant the icy wastelands of Antarctica and the South Pole. We ran up on deck to ask Captain Nemo. Just as we climbed out of the hatch, Ned spied a herd of whales a mile from the ship. "Can I go out and hunt them, Captain?" he asked, "just to keep my harpoon in practice." "Mr. Land," replied the captain coldly, "those are kind, playful black whales. They have enough trouble surviving attacks from their natural enemies, the sperm whales. They don't need you getting into the act." Ned's face turned purple with rage, but the captain ignored him as he went on. "The black whales are going to be in trouble soon enough. Look at those dots behind them." We turned and looked out to sea. "Those, gentlemen," said Captain Nemo, "are the cruel, destructive sperm whales. People have a right to kill them, and that is precisely what the Nautilus will do with the steel spur on her prow." We went below and the Nautilus dove. Ned, Conseil, and I took our places at the window while Captain Nemo went to the helmsman's compartment to lead the attack. The Nautilus became a fierce weapon in the hands of Captain Nemo as he plunged its steel spur into whale after whale, cutting each one into two twisting halves. The battle raged for hours, then the sea was calm. The Nautilus surfaced, and we rushed up on deck. The sea was covered with cut-apart bodies floating in an ocean of blood. As February turned into March, and we continued heading south, we began to see icebergs. But we steered between them until they became joined together by ice fields, long, unbroken plains of solid ice. For a while, the Nautilus was able to split the ice fields open with her strong prow, but finally, on March 18, we could go no further. We were up against a chain of ice mountains whose sharp peaks rose like thin needles 300 feet into the air. "It's the Great Ice Barrier," cried Ned. And truly it was. It was one obstacle that no ship had ever been able to get through. We would have to turn back.
Uh-oh.
But as I looked back, I saw that was impossible, too. All the passages behind us had frozen together, closing us in. "We're trapped, Captain," I cried. "Oh, Professor," said the captain calmly, "you always worry. Not only will the Nautilus free herself, but she will continue on and take us to the South Pole. We shall discover the pole together. Where others have failed, I, Captain Nemo, shall succeed." "I'd like to believe you, Captain," I replied, "but do you plan to put wings on the Nautilus and fly over the Great Ice Barrier?" "No, Professor, not over it, under it." Suddenly, I realized that this just might be possible. For every foot of iceberg above water, there are 3 feet below. So these 300-foot-high ice mountains only went down 900 feet below the surface. And 900 feet was a mere nothing for the Nautilus to dive. Captain Nemo ordered everyone below, and the Nautilus started down. Sure enough, when we reached a depth of 900 feet, we floated freely in the water. For the next 3 days, we sailed underneath the ice, but continued on our southerly course. We finally surfaced on March 21. All of us rushed up on deck. A few icebergs were scattered here and there, but the sky was full of birds and the water full of fish. At 37 degrees, it felt like spring. "Are we at the South Pole?" I asked. "I'll take our position at noon and know for sure," answered Captain Nemo. "If, at noon, the sun is cut exactly in half when we look at the northern horizon, then we will be at the South Pole." So the Nautilus cruised slowly along the surface for several hours until we reached a mass of rocks surrounded by a beach.
Surrounded by a beach.
The dinghy was put to sea and Captain Nemo, Conseil, and I got in. We rowed towards the sandy shore, swarming with penguins, seals, and walruses. "Monsieur," I said to Captain Nemo, "if this is the South Pole, you should have the honor of being the first to set foot on it." Yes, Professor, and the only reason I'm setting foot on dry land is because no other human being has been here before. Captain Nemo then jumped out of the dinghy and climbed up on a rock. Conseil and I waited several minutes, then followed. I checked my watch. It was noon. Captain Nemo lifted his telescope and pointed it to the north. Then he announced solemnly, "Today, March 21st, 1868, I, Captain Nemo, reach the South Pole. I now take possession of this part of the world." Then he unrolled a black flag with a gold N on it and planted it on the rock. Wow. That was awesome. What do you think about that, Thompson? He just took possession of the South Pole. Well, that's all for Chapter 14. Coming up next, Chapter 15, Trapped Beneath the Ice. Good night.